listening you love is on the free Odyssey app. Your trusted local radio stations, coverage of your favorite teams, live news from your hometown, and millions of podcasts on demand. Best of all, you can completely customize your listening experience. Follow topics you care about, like leagues and teams, pause or rewind your local sports and news, and add shows to your queue to catch up later. There's a lot to listen to, so get started and download the free Odyssey app today.
Throughout the 60s and 70s, cops hunted down key figures of the Dixie Mafia, including its enigmatic ringleader, Kirksey Nix.
I'm interested in making money. I'm not interested in hurting people.
15 years into Kirksey's life sentence, the Dixie Mafia was practically folklore, but that would soon change. I'm Jed Lipinski. This is Gone South, a documentary podcast from C13 Originals, a Cadence 13 studio. Season 2, The Dixie Mafia. Available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
We are coming to you live from the Rocket Mortgage Studios. Whether you're looking to purchase a new home or refinance yours, Rocket Mortgage can help you get there. For home loan solutions that fit your life, well, Rocket can. You can always give me a follow on social media at Zach Gelb, Twitter, Instagram, ZACHGELB, 855-212-4CBS, 855-212-4227. Let's get to a little overreaction or proper reaction. Week 7 edition in...
Another NFL week is complete, which means it's another week to freak out about your favorite team. Which takes are truly crazy.
But sometimes a game can be so bad, it's almost good. You know what I'm saying? No.
And which are so crazy, they might be right.
He's 6'5", he's 245 pounds. He's probably a Popeye's biscuit away from being a tight end.
Zach lets you know in this week's edition of Overreaction or Proper Reaction.
As much as we clown Booger McFarland for his job as a color commentator or a sideline reporter or a third guy in, whatever, on the Boogermobile for all of those, two, 3 years in Monday Night Football, the Popeye's biscuit away from being a tight end is an all-time great line. I think that may be the only positive thing I had to ever say about Tess, Jason Witten, and Booger McFarland when those three were together. That Popeye's biscuit away from being a tight end line is glorious.
That was about Kelvin Benjamin, right? I think it was.
Oh, that's right.
I think he was.
And he did eventually try to go to be a tight end.
Yeah, when his career was on life support.
You know, that Booger McFarland, he's one of the best in our league, let me just tell you.
He called that one. I'll give him credit there.
That's all he did, though. Each and every week. I remember I would send out a tweet. Take a shot every time you hear Booger McFarland say so-and-so is one of the best in our league. I think he went through every tight end in the NFL. Oh, Zach Ertz is one of the best tight ends in our league. Oh, Travis Kelce, one of the best tight ends in our league. Kittle, one of the best tight ends in our league. Rob Gronkowski, one of the best. Every single week. It was insert player, insert position, one of the best in this league. That's what it was. Anyway, what do you got for me today?
So coming off of yesterday where the Patriots played both Mac Jones and Bailey Zappe, neither of them playing particularly well. Is it an overreaction, Zach, or proper reaction? They say that by the end of the season, the Patriots will not have a quarterback on their roster they feel good about.
Overreaction, here's why. And I think a lot of people are going to say at the end of this year when the Patriots are not in the playoffs, they're not even close to sniffing the playoffs, oh, Mac Jones isn't the guy. Bailey Zappe isn't the guy. I can't be put in a position to tell you I will definitely feel good about these guys because they're not being put in a position to succeed. So the way that I look at it, I'm not evaluating the Patriot quarterbacks at the end of the year because Mac Jones will be the starter anyway next year and Bailey Zappe will still be on the roster. And then it's up to Bill Belichick this offseason to hire an actual offensive coordinator, not Matt Patricia. Get Joe Judge as far away as possible from the quarterbacks. Bring in offensive people and guys that have established success in this league on the offensive side of the ball. And then here is a tough one. Go get a number one wide receiver. Because Jakobi Meyers, solid number two or number three. Tyquan Thornton, we'll see what he turns out to be. They don't even like Kendrick Bourne anymore. I don't know why. So you go through all these guys. Devontae Parker, not a number one. This is not Miami. This is not Philadelphia. This is not the Jets. where they made big moves and put that quarterback in a position to succeed. So it's not fair to Mac or Bailey Zappi to say, oh, they stink at the end of the year, because it's impossible to tell. You know me, I think the world of Tom Brady. You put Tom Brady from 5 years ago on this roster, they don't do jack. You put Josh Allen on this roster, he doesn't do anything. You put Patrick Mahomes on this roster, he doesn't do anything. Because they don't have the proper playmakers. There's no Travis Kelce on this team. There's no Stephon Diggs on this team. There's no Gabe Davis on this team. You know what, when it's bad? You could look at the majority of the second wide receivers in the NFL, Hickey. You put them on the Patriots, they'd be the number one wide receiver on the Patriots. So Bill's got to do better this offseason.
Bill has got to do better. The mandate has been made from Zach Gelb.
Hold on. This is nothing
to
new.
Double B. I know. I agree. It's been going on for years.
I've been saying this all summer.
It's going on for years.
Well, I wouldn't say it's been going on for years because they've been able to not bring in the greatest of talent in the world because you've had Brady. When you lose Tom Brady and Mac may be a good quarterback, you then need to go get and overspend at the wide receiving position when for years you could underpay Edelman, you could underpay Wes Welker, underpay Danny Amendola. Because Brady was Brady. There's a reason why he's the GOAT. Now you don't have the GOAT, so you need to go do what the Eagles, the Dolphins, and the Jets have done and get two number one wide receivers or at least a number one wide receiver like the Jets now have in Garrett Wilson, who's a rookie.
You're right. I mean, paying the price now for 20 years of free living, like I said, when you have Tom Brady there and you don't have to worry, I'm jealous of Double B. Speaking of that game yesterday, Monday night, on the other side, the Bears. Overreaction or prop reaction, Zach, to say that the Bears will be back in the quarterback market this offseason?
Oh. Now, I thought Justin Fields, for the circumstance, played well last night. And it's so tough to judge Justin Fields because, once again, he's not being put in a position to succeed. Sometimes he holds on to the ball too much. Here's the difference, though, between the Patriots and the Bears. The Belichick regime drafted Mac Jones. The Ryan Pace, Matt Eberflus regime did not draft Justin Fields. So the question was that they'll be in the quarterback market next year. I think that's a proper reaction, but let me add a caveat to it. It may be to just add extra competition around Justin Fields. I would still expect Justin Fields to be the starter, but maybe they send a little bit of a message to him. But I don't even know if that is that fair because, A, it seems like every quarterback that plays in Chicago ends up stinking. But who do they got there in Chicago? It's the same thing you could say about Mac Jones. That regime, though, didn't draft him, so that's what concerns me a little bit.
All right, we talked enough about bad offense. Let's talk about some good offense.
Yeah, come on. Like, it's a Tuesday. It's early in the week. Can we save all the crappy quarterback play for, like, Thursday or Friday?
Let's turn to the Bengals then.
They had I'll be like that great... dopey caller last night. I only want to talk about the great quarterbacks. If it's not Allen or Mahomes, I'm not watching.
Great quarterbacks are bust. Not, like I said, not a lot of NFL football he is watching for sure. But the Bengals did have their best offensive game of the season on Sunday against the Falcons. Joe Burrow looked great. T. Higgins, Tyler Boyd, Jamar Chase, all contributing in a big offensive effort. Really the first time that looked like the 2021 offense. So overreaction or prop reaction? The Bengals have officially brushed off their early season struggles, and they'll be back to being one of the best offenses in the NFL like they were last year.
Oh, that is a proper reaction because Joe Burrow's a stud. The offensive line will always concern you, but it was a concern last year, and they found a way to just destroy teams or outscore teams over and over and over again. And when I talked to Tyler Boyd on Ion Football this past Sunday, he said it. We got three number one wide receivers. Like, Bill, pick up the phone. Call Cincinnati. Let's get one of those wide receivers. When you have Jamar Chase, you got T. Higgins and Tyler Boyd, and you have Joe Mixon out of the backfield too. That offense is wonderful. I don't know if they're, like, they'll be a 10-win team. You'll probably think it's going to be them and the Ravens neck and neck for that division, but both teams should make the playoffs with the Ravens and the Bengals.
Okay, I lied. Back to bad football.
Oh.
Green Bay Packers.
Go, Pack, go!
More like this year, no Pack, no, especially with their offense.
That's true. No, please.
Speaking of their offense, overreaction or proper reaction? Not even the addition of a guy like Odell Beckham Jr. or another wide receiver on the trade market could save this Packers offense this year.
Overreaction. You still have Aaron Rodgers. You hope the offensive line gets healthy. I like Aaron Jones and A.J. Dillon, but when you're relying on Christian Watson, who's in and out of the lineup, Romeo Doubs, it's not a formula for success when you're asking the youth with Rodgers all about timing and chemistry. And the moment you drop a ball, Rodgers wants to tune you out and say, okay, go get on the bench because his window's closing. There's a negative vibe with the Packers. Now, I don't think they're going to get a stud wide receiver. But if they do bring in an Odell Beckham, or maybe they go get Jerry Jeudy, who's starting to look a little bit overrated, it would at least bring in some life into that organization, and there would be a positive feeling from Rodgers of, okay, his best pal Brian Gutekunst is actually trying to put him in a position where he could go get a solid number one wide receiver in this league. So I do think that if you bring in someone that has a track record in this league of success, that excites Rodgers, excites the wide receiving room, even though it's competition, and it just brings a little bit of an easier feeling to that offense where they're clearly tense right now because Rodgers is annoyed him and Rodgers isn't happy. He's such a Debbie Downer, and he makes it look like he doesn't even care.
Talk about your favorite coach, or one of your favorite coaches in the NFL, Dan Campbell, the Hard Knocks darling. People like,
by the way, just to be clear, Hickey is marinating that statement of he is one of my favorite coaches in the NFL with full of sarcasm, because I've said it for the last 2 years. This guy would be the perfect college football coach. And I like the shtick in terms of, we're going to bite your kneecaps off, I'm going to do everything I can, or I'm going to die trying. Like, I like that mentality. Eventually, though, it has to translate into wins. And through the first 2 years, the Lions have done what they've done for the better part of my life, and that's be a crappy football team and kind of look like a turd. That's what they've been. They're like a turd of a product, pretty much.
Speaking of wins, just one so far this year in 2022.
It's gotta be the first time the Lions and turd have been used together on CBS Sports Radio.
I don't know. I think if there's one team there that would be compared to a turd.
Yes, they should be in the toilet. There's no doubt about that. I just don't know how many hosts are going to call them a turd. Like, I can see Mraz calling them
a turd. I was going to say, I can see DA saying turd.
Yeah, DA too.
You say Jim Rome? I can see Jim.
Jim could say whatever he wants.
Jim going the turd route.
Yeah.
Speaking of Dan Campbell and turds and
lines. Jim could call me a turd and I would be like, yeah, that's our leader here at the network. If he says I'm a turd, I'm a turd.
I'll go in the toilet, Jim. That's where I belong. Dan Campbell, overreaction or proper reaction, is in real jeopardy of not being brought back in 2023.
Overreaction. People like him. I think he will get year number three. But if they stink once again, he won't see past year number three. But he'll be back next year.
Taylor Heinicke, in his first start of the year up against the Packers on Sunday, gets the win. He will start again this week against the Colts. Overreaction or proper reaction, Zach? Taylor Heinicke should be the Commanders' starting quarterback for the rest of the season.
Proper reaction. Carson's career came and went. Over. Done. Finish. Third time's a charm. Not so fast, Carson. Taylor Heinicke just beat the Green Bay Packers. He's not even that good. I don't need to see Carson Wentz on the field again. I've seen enough. I'm tapping out on Carson Wentz.
Your first place team in the NFC West through 7 weeks, just as we thought, are the Seattle Seahawks, sitting there at 4-3. Overreaction. Hawks.
See!
Hawks.
Come on, a little bit more energy.
Well,
see!
Hawks.
No, like you mean it. See!
Hawks.
See!
Hawks.
See!
Hawks.
That's what I'm talking about. Pete Carroll, baby. What's the question?
Congrats to you, Pete. Overreaction or proper action, Z-Man?
Geno Smith.
Seahawks are a playoff team.
Oh.
Oh, no.
Oh.
Are the Seahawks chance for not?
Seahawks. Seahawks. Yeah, a playoff team? I know the NFC is wide open and they've been gritty. DK Metcalf now hurt. We'll see how long he's going to miss. Is the magic of Geno Smith going to continue to cook? Probably still a little pessimistic on that. Yeah, I'm not ready to say that they're going to make the playoffs. Not ready.
Two more for you. Chiefs, they scored 44 points on Sunday against one of the best defenses, if not the best defense in the NFL, in the 49ers. overreaction or prop reaction? The Chiefs right now have the best offense in the NFL.
Oh, that's an overreaction. They're in the conversation, but the Buffalo Bills make you want to shout. Josh Allen, Stephon Diggs, Gabe Davis, Dawson Knox. That's the best offense in the NFL. Them and Kansas City, and Buffalo beat Kansas City, so they get the edge.
And finally, a video over the weekend went viral of two referees appearing to ask Mike Evans for an autograph. Now, the NFL claims they investigated. They claims no wrongdoing, all good, no autograph. Instead,
and
Tom Pelissero.
They did not give an explanation.
No.
They leaked it to Tom Pelissero, who works for the NFL. I know what you do, NFL. I see everything that you guys do. I know what you're trying to leak out. I don't get why they just didn't say it themselves. That doesn't make sense to me. But they had Tom Pelissero do their dirty work, and the dirty work is?
That the referees were asking for Mike Evans' phone number because they were both Texas A&M alums, and they're trying to hook Mike Evans up with a golf swing coach for the offseason. That's what Tom Pelissero is reporting.
Uh-huh.
Overreaction or prop reaction? Two referees should be fired for asking Mike Evans for an autograph.
Overreaction. I don't think they were asking for his autograph. That golf theory is so crazy and such a wacky excuse that in some way I actually believe it. And referees, players, they talk all the time. It got caught on camera. If it is actually a golf thing, which I do believe, I don't have a big deal. Bucks also lost the game. And even if the Bucks won the game, do I think the referee's going to then say, oh, Mike Evans and I, you know, we're hooking up on the golf course, so therefore I'm not going to call offensive pass interference on him? No. I'm not saying that you should want to see that with the referees, and you probably shouldn't do that in the workplace and maybe go through proper channels like a team PR guy or something like that. But I don't think those referees should be fired. I'm not irate about this like everybody else. I'm assuming you have a different take, but why you asked the question?
I mean, I think it's a bad look. And I don't think the NFL can similar to gambling, you can't afford bad looks when it comes to outcomes of the game. So just as...
Fair point.
Is Calvin Ridley seriously
Calvin
supposed to be suspended?
Ridley, I'm annoyed today. It's a good point.
So it's all about optics. And again, maybe you're right, but if that's the case, then you got to know better to then go through team channels and just make sure... Like, you cannot appear any which way to be leaning favor towards a player or a team.
Like, not that it's the same thing, but there's a lot of people through this show that we're friendly with. And sometimes they do things in their line of work that ends up becoming topic of conversations on this show. I may love someone and respect someone and appreciate our friendship or our relationship, but if you do something wrong, I get paid to give my honest opinion to the audience. And I have to do my job. And I don't believe that I allow my personal relationships to impact what I say on this show. Now, someone could call up and say, oh, you didn't kill that guy as much as you want, blah, 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 blah. But ultimately, in this world, you're judged based off your performance. And if the NFL didn't think the referee's performance were impacted by it, then I don't have a major problem. But I think it would be smart not to be asking players for things, especially when you are a referee, because then topics like this do happen on radio shows. This is Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio. When we come on back, we will evaluate each and every 3-win team through the first 7 weeks in the National Football League.
The listening you love is on the free Odyssey app. Your trusted local radio stations, coverage of your favorite teams, live news from your hometown, and millions of podcasts on demand. Best of all, you can completely customize your listening experience. Follow topics you care about, like leagues and teams. Pause or rewind your local sports and news, and add shows to your queue to catch up later. There's a lot to listen to, so get started and download the free Odyssey app today.
Throughout the 60s and 70s, cops hunted down key figures of the Dixie Mafia, including its enigmatic ringleader, Kirksey Nix.
I'm interested in making money. I'm not interested in hurting people.
15 years into Kirksey's life sentence, the Dixie Mafia was practically folklore, but that would soon change. I'm Jed Lipinski. This is Gone South, a documentary podcast from C13 Originals, a Cadence 13 studio. Season 2, The Dixie Mafia. Available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. Throughout the 60s and 70s, cops hunted down key figures of the Dixie Mafia, including its enigmatic ringleader, Kirksey Nix.
I'm interested in making money. I'm not interested in hurting people.
15 years into Kirksey's life sentence, the Dixie Mafia was practically folklore, but that would soon change. I'm Jed Lipinski. This is Gone South, a documentary podcast from C13 Originals, a Cadence 13 studio. Season 2, The Dixie Mafia. Available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
You're listening to The Zach Gelb Show.
It is The Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio. I need some NFL music, por favor. And right now, through 7 weeks of the season, if you have 3 wins, for the most part, you have more losses than wins, unless you are the Colts, right? Because they are 3-3-1 because they had that Fugazi tie up against the Houston Texans. So it's time to put up or shut up. When it comes to these 3-win teams in the NFL, they need a big performance in the next week or two, and they need to start developing some consistency, or they will start to be teams that are on the outside looking in come postseason time. Give me the teams, I'll give you my reaction.
The New England Patriots.
Oh! You just threw the knife right back into my heart there, hot take, Icky. That's what you start off this segment with, the New England Patriots? What's wrong with you? A lot. I guess you can't speak.
Just doing my job. That's all. Let's talk some Pats here at 3-4.
Yeah, they're not making the playoffs. I said that before the year. I'll say it again. You may say, Zach, you know, I'm curious in reaction to the game last night. Who you think should be moving forward as the quarterback? Should it be Bailey Zappe or should it be Mac Jones? Doesn't matter. Because you could put Tom Brady, Joe Montana, whoever the quarter, John Elway, Dan Marino behind this team, Peyton Manning. They're not getting to the playoffs this year when Matt Patricia, Joe Judge are having integral parts on the offensive approach. And at wide receivers, you have Jacoby Myers as your number one wide receiver, Devontae Parker, and then 2 games so far of Tyquan Thornton. The approach is terrible. Bill needs to hire actual offensive people this offseason, and he needs to go get a number one wide receiver. Would you agree? Is there any quarterback in the NFL that could walk in New England right now and get this offense to the playoffs?
I think Josh Allen could. I think Mahomes could. I think Russell Wilson, I know for sure, cannot.
Well, you just said Russell Wilson. You've been watching football this year?
Joe Burrow, I think could. He's done more with less, although better receivers.
Now, clearly, I'm not saying those quarterbacks are bad, other than Russell Wilson. He's been bad this year. Joe Burrow, as great as he is individually, he is Ja'Marr Chase, T. Higgins, Tyler Boyd. Patrick Mahomes, he has Travis Kelce. Even those other guys, like Juju Smith-Schuster and Marquez Valdez-Scantling, are much better than anything the Patriots have. And Josh Allen and Stephon Diggs and Gabe Davis. This is very similar to Brady's final year in Foxborough. And yes, they made the playoffs, but they were not a threat come postseason time. So maybe that's the better way to say it, that they could make the playoffs if you bring in one of those quarterbacks. They would never be a threat to actually go back to Patriot standards.
I know the offensive coordinator is obviously different, but the cast of characters is kind of the same. So it's not like they just lost all this talent from last year to this year.
From last year to this year,
you made the playoffs last year with a lot of the same
Josh
guys.
Josh McDaniels, just, you had a competent offensive coordinator. So you replaced Josh McDaniels, so I know you don't like him. But Josh McDaniels, the offensive coordinator, has had a lot of success in this league. Now, he's had Brady. But last year he showed you he could succeed without Brady as an offensive coordinator. And this year you bring in Patricia, who was an offensive assistant in the early 2000s for a year. And Joe Judge, because he played, college quarterback? Now that makes him qualified to coach the quarterbacks? The guy's a special teams coordinator for the most part. And a failed NFL coach. That would be as if I needed a tire replacement. And I go into the store, and instead of giving me a new tire, they go, oh, we're going to give you, like a windshield wiper. And we're going to put the windshield wiper on the tire and see if the car's going to drive. The car's not going to drive. You're not putting any quarterback in a position to succeed this year and get the most out of this team, even if you don't have the best roster in the world, because you have guys that are coaching up the quarterback and the offense that are not offensive guys in the NFL to their core. All right, next team.
The Indianapolis Colts.
Sam Ellinger. Tank. Said 2 weeks ago the Colts should be in tank mode. Now they're actually in tank mode. Yeah, they're not turning their season around.
The Washington Commanders.
Now they play the Colts this weekend. That game is in Indianapolis?
Yes, sir.
I kind of like the Commanders in that game. But that game has no juice.
It's supposed to be Matt Ryan
against Carson Wentz. No juice. Unless you have Dan Snyder and Jim Irsay getting into a little kerfuffle before the game.
They might have to. I think it's America's Game of the Week. So most of the country is seeing.
No, that's not.
425 on Fox.
Oy vey.
So most of the country will see Sam Ellinger against Taylor Heineke. Get ready.
Wow. They're not sending Buck and company. They're not sending Burkhardt and Olsen, right?
I think they are. I could be wrong, but I mean, they do every America's Game of the Week, and usually it's 4:25. I know sometimes it's, you know, they'll do it at 1 o'clock.
So your 4 o'clock games this weekend, 4 or 5 on CBS, not Fox. Titans Texans, woof.
Yuck.
Commanders Colts on Fox, woof. 49ers Rams on Fox, and the Giants and Seahawks are on Fox. There's no way. There could be a way. That they're sending Bart and Olsen to that game?
Now, maybe they switch. I don't know. But from what I've seen, it was game of the week. And it's, I mean, they're obviously were billing revenge for Carson Wentz coming back to Indy. That's obviously where they did it. And obviously, that's not going to plan whatsoever.
Now, this is not a reliable person. But when I search on Twitter, I don't know if this is true or not. It's just the first thing that comes up. San Francisco 49ers, LA Rams broadcasting crew, Kevin Burkhardt, Greg Olsen, Aaron Andrews, Tom Rinaldi. Now, it's not from a verified person or a reporter, but that was just what was tweeted out there. So I have not seen the full Week 8 schedule yet for announcers. But anyway.
Oofa doofa.
Who's the team? The Commanders?
Commanders.
Oh, yeah. They're in one of the best divisions in football, and they're the worst team in that division. They're not making the playoffs.
The Green Bay Packers.
Three teams from the NFC East are getting in. The Vikings are going to win the North. The Bucks probably still win the South. The West, I guess you go 49ers. So that's 6 playoff spots. The Packers are in serious danger of missing the playoffs. And I'm starting to lean more that they're going to miss the playoffs than make the playoffs. That's my take on the Green Bay Packers.
The Chicago Bears.
They're not making the playoffs. It's kind of crazy that that team beat the 49ers. I know the Patriots aren't good, but the Patriots were a 7.5-point favorite. And they destroyed the Patriots. But they will not make the playoffs.
The Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
They'll make the playoffs because of the product of their division. Their division is horrible. The Falcons are 3-4, and they're tied with the Bucks for first place. Tom Brady will find the way to bare minimum win 9 games, and 9 wins will easily win that division.
The Atlanta Falcons.
Scrappy. Who would have thought? Would you have ever thought in a million years that the Falcons would have been the second best team this year in the NFC South? Not that we were very optimistic. Well, I wasn't very optimistic about the Panthers, and I wasn't very optimistic about the Saints, but they were better on paper than the Falcons. At this point, just with the way that they compete and the Saints, they're so far out of it, and you have an older team, and you look at the Panthers. Yeah, P.J. Walker did a nice job last week, but there's just not a lot of talent on that offensive side of the ball. I would be surprised at this point if the Falcons don't get the second spot in this division. They won't make the playoffs, but I think they're going to finish in second place, and that's a step in the right direction for one Arthur Smith.
Los Angeles Rams.
I'll lean on the side that they will be the final wild card team, and it may just be because of Aaron Donald and Cooper Kupp.
the San Francisco 49ers.
I think that they'll win the division. It's going to be sloppy. It's going to be a roller coaster ride. I think they have the most talent, though. And once they get healthy, I think they will find a way to go to the top of the NFC West.
The Arizona Cardinals.
They will miss the playoffs. I know Hopkins is back. I can't tell you that I feel great, though, about the performance last week as a team. You had the two pick sixes. If you're not going up against Andy Dalton, you probably do lose that game. I just don't trust Cliff Kingsbury. I don't trust Kyler Murray. And I don't like the way that Steve Keim has assembled this roster. So I'm out on the Arizona Cardinals. It's weird. This is such a wide open year in the NFL. But it's still, this is going to contradict what I just said. It doesn't feel like it's open. Like, when you look how open it is, you don't feel really confident in a lot of these teams. Right now, if I had to tell you that the three best teams in the league, and it's not even debatable, in whatever order, Bills, Eagles, and Chiefs, who's the fourth best team in football? Who's the fourth best team in football right now? Let's go around the room. Hickey, who's the fourth best team in football right now? If it is the Eagles, Chiefs, and Bills, order whichever way you want, 1, 2, and 3.
I mean, I have a hard time saying it's not the Giants. I don't really like the resume, but 6-1. Hard to argue with that.
Ack, who is the fourth best team in football?
I was wondering who else was in the room. I'm going to go the Cincinnati Bengals.
I like that.
Thank you.
Joe Burrow, Jamar Chase.
I try to bring something
Mixon,
to the show.
Mixon, Boyd, Higgins. You did your job today, Ack.
Beautiful.
Yeah, get this man a pastrami sandwich or something.
All right,
like
I'll see
that.
You guys later. I'm out.
He deserved his keep today. I'm going to go the Minnesota Vikings. And I don't trust the quarterback, but it's just like one of those years where we look at offensive talent and Burrow's a stud and Kirk Cousins is not a stud, but they're loaded with offensive talent and Thielen hasn't even played that well yet, but you got Justin Jefferson, you have Dalvin Cook, and Za'Darius Smith has done a nice job for that defense. I guess at the 4 spot, I will go with the Minnesota Vikings. But look how much trouble. Like, Hickey was pausing. Ack had an answer, but he's like, oh, wait, you want me to go to me? You sure about that?
That's because he came to me second, so I had time to think.
And then mine was, yeah, I guess I'll go Minnesota. So it is an open year in the NFL, but maybe these three teams, the Eagles, the Bills, and the Chiefs, now injuries could always play an impact, are in such an exclusive club that they're not accepting applications anytime soon for anyone else to realistically get an invite to the party, which not getting an invite to the party, that's where myself, Ack, and Hickey probably have something all in common. Anyway, we'll take a break here. We'll update you on the biggest stories in the world of sports with some audio. When we come on back, that is called the News Brief.
The listening you love is on the free Odyssey app. Your trusted local radio stations, coverage of your favorite teams, live news from your hometown, and millions of podcasts on demand. Best of all, you can completely customize your listening experience. Follow topics you care about, like leagues and teams. Pause or rewind your local sports and news, and add shows to your queue to catch up later. There's a lot to listen to, so get started and download the free Odyssey app today.
Throughout the 60s and 70s, cops hunted down key figures of the Dixie Mafia, including its enigmatic ringleader, Kirksey Nix.
I'm interested in making money. I'm not interested in hurting people.
15 years into Kirksey's life sentence, the Dixie Mafia was practically folklore, but that would soon change. I'm Jed Lipinski. This is Gone South, a documentary podcast from C13 Originals, a Cadence 13 studio. Season 2, The Dixie Mafia. Available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. Throughout the 60s and 70s, cops hunted down key figures of the Dixie Mafia, including its enigmatic ringleader, Kirksey Nix.
I'm interested in making money. I'm not interested in hurting people.
15 years into Kirksey's life sentence, the Dixie Mafia was practically folklore, but that would soon change. I'm Jed Lipinski. This is Gone South, a documentary podcast from C13 Originals, a Cadence 13 studio. Season 2, The Dixie Mafia. Available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
You're listening to The Zach Gelb Show. Time for your daily news brief. We get you caught up on the rumors, reports, and reconnaissance from the day in sports.
I think I know Bill Belichick pretty well. So clearly he's being asked which quarterback's going to play next week against the Jets. If I had to take a guess, here are my two guesses. Guess number one.
We'll do what's in the best interest of the team. That is team. T-E-A-M.
Or Or if he's asked about next week, was this directly after the game?
This first one, yes. Post game.
Blank stare, and maybe he gives a line of,
you know, I'm just focused on the game tonight.
Let's hear Bill Belichick on which QB will play next week.
Who is the starting quarterback?
Yeah, we just finished the game.
So when Mac came out of the game, Bill, was that a medical decision, the timing of the pulling him? So is that related to the interception that was his last play tonight?
No, we had planned to play. I told the quarterbacks that we were gonna play both of them.
Shut your mouth, you peasant reporter. I'm Bill Belichick. Don't you dare question me. It's a logical question. Why did I pull Mac? You'll never find out, just like we never found out why Malcolm Butler didn't play in Super Bowl 52. So, whatever you say, I'm just not going to really give you an answer.
Well, Bill, was Mac Jones benched for performance? Let's get a follow-up here.
That's not what it was, but you know, you can write whatever you want to write. That's not what it was.
You know, that's not what it was. You could write whatever you write, and I'm not going to give you an answer.
Like, doesn't Bill... Not that he has to give you an answer, but if you're going to say you could write whatever you want to write, you can't get mad at someone for writing whatever they want to assume when you give not even an ounce of clarity in this whole situation.
I mean, which isn't that how this whole Korda controversy started in the first place?
Yeah.
Bill not answering any questions and leaving it open for speculation?
Were you surprised that the fans that embraced Mac Jones a lot last year and was 10-7? That fans at a football game last night were chanting for Zappy when Mac Jones didn't get off to the best start in the world last night.
Honestly, no.
I'm not either, because you mix alcohol and football fans together and you usually get a lot of stupidity.
It's also, I hate to say it, a what have you done for me lately kind of crowd. Like, yeah. That's just the world we live in, and Bailey Zappy, two great games. And Mac Jones is not.
And I like Mac Jones. Like, he hasn't done anything in New England to make me say I don't like him, but... Here's a hot take. He's no Tom Brady. It's not like you have years and years of loyalty built into Mac Jones. Bill Belichick on if the QBs were aware they would split reps during the game.
We went through the week.
So they were aware of the situation that they were going to split reps?
We went through the week of practice. Mac was inactive last week.
Can you try to even just describe what he was trying to say there?
I think he accomplished it. Nothing.
We practice. We went through practice.
Who is he? Allen Iverson now?
I love the 10-second pause. Mac was inactive last week. Thanks, Bill. That's all we're asking.
Belichick on WEI this morning on if the rest of the team knew about the QB plan.
I talked to the quarterbacks, talked to the leaders of the team. Everybody knew what the plan was. I mean, not every single person, obviously. I wouldn't talk to every person about another player's role in the game, but they all have their jobs to do, but there was no lack of communication.
Everyone knew about the plan besides everyone. Basically, Mac and Bailey knew, even though that's not true, but everyone knew about the plan. You know, I probably told Matt Patricia, and since Matt Patricia can't do anything right, Matt probably didn't verbalize the plan correctly to the rest of the team. That's team, T-E-A-M, team.
Jeez. Like, this is the problem now. Belichick, we all know, is one of the greatest coaches ever. But when you're not winning and you give these smug answers, it makes you look bad. Like, when you were winning, bleep all of you peasants in the media. Bleep everyone that questions me. But you're not winning right now. It's not a good look for Bill. Mac Jones says he went into the game knowing Bailey Zappe would play at some point. So at least Mac knew.
I think, you know, like I said earlier, just part of the plan. I think Coach Belichick obviously did a really, really good job explaining it to me. And I knew what the plan was. And, you know, the timing's the timing. But we were on the same page. And there's no hard feelings or anything. I wish I played better while I was in there. But I'll hopefully have a chance to do that in practice and kind of earn that back. And then... you know, applied in the game, but we definitely want to play better as a team, and we're going to do that. We're all going to work together and put our best foot forward.
So Mac was trained by Saban and was trained a year with Bill Belichick so far. Now it's 2 years. So there's no way he's going to butcher this situation and he's going to botch this situation. You knew he was going to handle it the way that Belichick wanted to handle it. Now, I've not heard Bailey Zappe yet, but Bailey Zappe has only been in Foxborough for a few months. So he may be a little bit raw on the Patriot way. Bailey Zappe, and if he knew he would play on Monday night, once again, courtesy of WEI.
No, sir. You know, that's kind of up to Coach Belichick. That's his decision. I kind of prepared the whole week like I have the last 7 weeks to, you know, kind of have the mentality that I was one play away. Whenever that was, I was going to be ready and kind of just prepared that way this past week and taking every rep like a game rep.
All right, sir. Now, Hickey, Belichick said everyone was aware that needed to be aware, correct?
That's what he claimed.
Wouldn't Bailey Zappe being aware of the plan, if the plan was to play both guys, be, I don't know, a pretty important piece of the puzzle?
I would say so, yes.
Is he just so mind-bleeped by the Belichick way that he just messed up the answering of the question because he was so nervous?
Maybe Ben Vaughn was right. Maybe Bill Belichick told Mac Jones.
You want to get fired? Do you want to lose your job? If you ever say the words, Ben Vaughn was right, you will lose your job. Take that back. Take it back.
Maybe the guy on Twitter then who DM'd him was actually right. Mac Jones has an attitude problem. Bill said, hey, Mac, we're going to split reps. You be the one to tell Bailey. And maybe Mac just forgot.
Oh, okay. So you're being sarcastic.
Yes, right? I am being very sarcastic.
I was about to say. Connor Green, we could use you to be the new producer of this extravaganza. Jacoby Myers on if he was surprised that Bailey Zappe played.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, I didn't make the call, you know, so definitely was a surprise.
No one knew about this plan. No one knew about this plan.
Who do you think realistically Bill told? Patricia?
Whoever told Schefter. Schefter knew about it.
He was on it.
I think you'd have to at least tell your offensive coordinator.
Wouldn't you tell the wide receivers? Wouldn't you tell Bailey Zappe unless...
You would think. Justin Fields says he just hopes to continue to improve throughout the season.
My main goal right now is just to, you know, continue to improve each and every day, each and every game. So, again, just going to look at tomorrow, what the film, really tonight, and on what can I get better at. And, you know, what I can improve on as an individual and what we can improve on as a team. So, you know, we're just, you know, focused on getting better each and every day.
Yeah, it's so tough to evaluate Justin Fields because he's not really being put in a position to succeed. And this regime did not draft him, so you don't know how much they actually love him. Let's hear what Ryan Poles, the new Bears GM, had to say on how he's evaluating Justin Fields for the rest of the regular season.
A few different things, just how he's being used. So are we putting him in a position where he can be successful?
No.
And then the execution and the details of what he's being asked to do and really speeding up to the game and making decisions, you know, quicker. But again, the beautiful thing about football, it's relying on everybody else. So as a whole, we have to improve. And I think we'll see that, you know, everyone starts to get better and then we'll start to ascend.
That didn't seem real convincing.
Is it ever convincing we have an impromptu press conference before the game?
Oh, is that what that was?
Impromptu.
Yeah, not great. I was going to say, why was Ryan Pohl speaking? Like, for example, we may have Joe Shane on during the Giants bye week. I was texting with Joe the other day. And I asked Joe to come on last week, or I was texting with him last week. I asked him to come on last week, and he goes, I'm going to wait until the bye week until I speak to the media. A lot of the general managers, like I asked Brandon Bean to come on when they were in their bye week this past week. He politely declined because he was out. Like the general managers, you don't usually hear from in season unless it's around trade deadline time. So that's a little bit weird that Ryan Poles did speak. Aaron Rodgers says the players who aren't getting it done need to be benched.
We had so many just mental errors and mistakes. It's not the kind of football we're used to playing. You know, guys who are making too many mistakes shouldn't be playing. Got to start cutting some reps. Yeah, maybe guys who aren't playing, give them a chance.
He's such a bad leader. You're laughing. That's horrible.
That's why it's so funny. Start cutting reps.
Yeah.
It's like you're trimming the fat.
Who are you going to?
Yeah, that's.
Do you want to see more of Amari Rodgers? That guy drops everything. I'm looking at the results. Lazard, Christian Watson, Randall Cobb is now on IR, Romeo Doubs, Sammy Watkins. Amari, like, who are you going? Who else are you going to? Pick off Joe Schmo off the street.
Trade for Jake Kumerow. Bring his best friend back.
Where is Jake? Is he still in Buffalo?
I don't think so.
Where in the world is Jake Kumerow?
He's playing. I think I heard his name last week or 2 weeks ago.
Yeah, he's in Buffalo. According to our very reliable source, Wikipedia. He is in Buffalo. Alrighty. And the first thing that comes up too, Aaron Rodgers cracked a Jake Kumerow joke on the Pat McAfee show. I can't wait for Rodgers to really, really have a stinker. Cut his reps. Bring in Jordan Love. There we go. Salma Wilcott's going to join us next. We'll go around the National Football League.
Throughout the 60s and 70s, cops hunted down key figures of the Dixie Mafia, including its enigmatic ringleader, Kirksey Nix.
I'm interested in making money. I'm not interested in hurting people.
15 years into Kirksey's life sentence, the Dixie Mafia was practically folklore, but that would soon change. I'm Jed Lipinski. This is Gone South, a documentary podcast from C13 Originals, a Cadence 13 studio. Season 2, The Dixie Mafia. Available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. Throughout the 60s and 70s, cops hunted down key figures of the Dixie Mafia, including its enigmatic ringleader, Kirksey Nix.
I'm interested in making money. I'm not interested in hurting people.
15 years into Kirksey's life sentence, the Dixie Mafia was practically folklore, but that would soon change. I'm Jed Lipinski. This is Gone South, a documentary podcast from C13 Originals, a Cadence 13 studio. Season 2, The Dixie Mafia. Available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
The listening you love is on the free Odyssey app. Your trusted local radio stations, coverage of your favorite teams, live news from your hometown, and millions of podcasts on demand. Best of all, you can completely customize your listening experience. Follow topics you care about, like leagues and teams. Pause or rewind your local sports and news. And add shows to your queue to catch up later. There's a lot to listen to. So get started and download the free Odyssey app today.